العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So continuing our reading and explanation of the book أصول السنة of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal رحمه الله تعالى. This was the noble Imam, the Imam known as the Imam أهل السنة والجماعة, who died in the year 241 after the Hijrah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. This noble Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal رحمه الله, as we covered in our previous lessons, when he advised with sticking to the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sticking to their way and taking our aqeedah from them. But this is from the foundations of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that you take your aqeedah from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you take your understanding of the Kitab and the Sunnah, the two revelations, your understanding of the Kitab and the Sunnah from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As was the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, adhere to my sunnah, alaykum bi sunnati, and to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa al-rashidin, and to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, meaning the companions. Hold on to it, or bite onto it with your molar teeth, with your innermost teeth. Wa iyyakum wal muhdathat al-umur, and beware of newly invented matters. And what's a newly invented matter? It's a bid'ah. Beware of bid'ah, for every bid'ah is going astray. Hadith fi marawahu Ahmad fi musnadihi, and likewise Abi Dawud in his Sunan, and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned against falling into innovation after ordering the ummah to do what? To follow the way of the companions. So the one who leaves the path of the companions, the Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this one, he leaves the correct path and he embarks upon a path of innovation, thinking that he is getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of other than following the companions in his understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. Likewise, you have a beautiful statement of Imam Az-Zuhri rahimahullah, and this was the noble Imam, Imams of the Salaf, who died in the year 125 after the Hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, upon Allah is the bayan, his explanation is for him to explain and clarify and order. Upon Allah is the bayan, and upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the balagh, is conveying and relating, and upon us is taslim. Upon us is what? Is taslim, is submitting and accepting. And this is reported by Abu Nu'aym in Al-Hilya. Likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the isnad which is hasan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding those who will come in a time, the scholars, the people of sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described them as those who will correct what the people have corrupted from the sunnah after me. There will be those who what? Who will correct that which the people have corrupted from the sunnah after me. فَهُنَا you find Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioning those affairs from the matters of the aqeedah, from the matters of the unseen, which a Muslim requires for him to submit without argumentation regarding it, without arguing, even if you know that you have the truth in the matter, without debating about it, without opening your ears to people of bid'ah, people of innovation, and sitting with the people of innovation. And regarding the sitting with the people of innovation, you find a severe warning from the Imams of the Salaf as they understood it from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would warn against it and they would mention how severe it was. That they would say, for example, some of the Salaf, regarding even if they saw someone accompanying a person of innovation, like from A'mash, who said that they would not ask about a man after three. They would not ask about the situation of a man after three. Who he walked with, who he entered upon, whose houses and whose sittings he entered upon, and who his friends were from amongst the people. This is how the person was judged. Likewise, As-Sa'id ibn Amir, who said We did not see any man, or rather, from Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, the noble Imam, Sahib Sharh Sunnah, who said that if anything of bid'ah appears in a person, beware of him, since what is hidden from you is more than what is apparent. Subhanallah. Beware of a person if anything of bid'ah appears in him, because what is hidden from you is more, what is hidden from you is more than what is apparent. And if you see a person whose manners and opinion are despicable, that his opinions regarding the Quran and the Sunnah, and his opinions regarding taking from the companions, it's a despicable opinion he has. He is against the Jama'ah, he is against the majority of the Muslims and the main body of the Muslims. This person is sinful and oppressive. For the Imams of the Salaf would warn against sitting with the people of Bid'ah and taking from the people of Bid'ah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the noble companions, he said, do not sit with the people of Ahwa, don't sit with the people of desires, for indeed their gatherings cause sickness in the heart. And Al-Hasan al-Basri and Muhammad ibn Sirin both used to say, do not sit with the people of Bid'ah and don't argue with them and do not listen from them. Don't argue with them and don't even listen from them. And Ayyub al-Sakhtiani, he said, that Abu Qilaba, he said to me, O Ayyub, memorize from me four things. Do not speak regarding the Quran with your opinion. And beware of speaking about Al-Qadr. And if the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned, then withhold. And do not give the people of desires your hearing, so that they can cast into your hearing what they wish, into your doubts, into your mind, by way of doubts. But Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he mentions, and which we covered in our previous lesson, Imanu bil Qadr wa nu'minu bil Qadr, that we believe in the Qadr of Allah, that everything is by the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke about how Ahl Sunnah, they believed in the affairs of Al-Qadr. And likewise we spoke about how from the shaitan is that from the first of those doubts which the shaitan, and from the first of the desires which entered, was jealousy and envy, that he would refrain, and he refrained from prostrating to Adam alayhi salam when he was ordered to do so. And this is something which you find that a person, by way of his denial of Al-Qadr, by way of his denial of Al-Qadr, that everything is from the pre-decree of Allah, that what you get by way of rizq, by way of sustenance, or by way of glad tidings, by way of barakah, by way of good things in this life, all of this by way of qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one shouldn't judge his Muslim brother just based upon what he gets and what his other brother gets. He should likewise look to those who are under him, and knowing that what he has likewise is ni'm, is blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it by way of the qadr of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his attributes, is al-hakim, that he is the most wise. And all of this being from the hikmah of Allah, from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِ وَشَرِّ. We believe in the affairs of al-qadr, it's good and it's evil from it. And it's easy upon the Muslim, the Sunni Muslim, to accept that which is by way of something which is good. He's pleased with it. And he says, yes, this is from the qadr of Allah. The real test is when he is tried with difficulty. When he's tried with difficulty which is out of his control, by way of something, as the scholars explain, if it's bad weather, or by way of a storm, or other than that, from the masaib, from the difficulties that a Muslim faces, no doubt it's a little bit easier for him because he knows it's out of his control. But how about the difficulties when he thinks that he could have done something different? Or when he's around the same mujtama, in the same community, and he finds that he has much little to what others around him have. And he faces those difficulties. And he sees the good things in life, and he sees that he is not able to achieve some of that. He tries hard, he works hard, and he's not able to achieve it.
Huna is the real test. How does he believe in al-qadr here? Does he accept this? And he says, Hada min qadrillah, and alhamdulillah, and may Allah give my brother more, and may Allah bless him in what he has, and I will be patient with what I have. Hada min qadrillah, this is from the pre-decree of Allah, min hikmatillah, and I will still work hard. Huna is the real test. Or he finds himself that he's afflicted with some harm, and his mujtama' and the community he's in is not afflicted with the same harm. Here it comes, nu'minu bil qadri khayri wa sharri. And that's why you find, and if you reflect upon the statement of Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, where he said that Abu Qilaba said to him, and will specify on this part here, and beware of speaking of al-qadr. Look how the imams of the Salaf, they would summarize this aqidah. When they would sit with their scholars would highlight certain points for them. They would go to their scholars and they would say, teach me my religion, so that I may hold this on Yawm al-Qiyamah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you, Ya Sufyan, for example, Sufyan al-Thawri, you taught me this religion. So Sufyan here, rahimahullah, he doesn't go out and teach the whole religion. This is not something expected from the imams. Rather, they would highlight for you certain things, and you build your religion upon that. And that's what we want to do by way of these lessons also. We want to try and highlight that which Imam Ahmed rahimahullah is highlighting. And then you build your religion upon that. This is the manhaj, this is the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. You take from it the main parts of it, read from the books of the Salaf, and you will find in the books of the Salaf, the books of the righteous predecessors, the ones who came before the Imams of the Sunnah, like I mentioned, from Imam al-Zuhri and Sufyan al-Thawri and Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani and other than them, and the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Ibn Abbas and other than them, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, that you take from them the main parts and you read from them, and you find in them that they have a lot of repetition, and you find them stressing on certain points. And from those points that they stress on, and that which you find Imam Ahmad rahimahullah starting his Usul al-Sunnah with, is that they would stress on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Ali al-A'la, that he was the most high. Because you find that the Sufiyah, they entered into this and they started speaking about Allah without correct knowledge, and they started speaking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere, which is the aqidah of the Sufiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present with his knowledge, but he is distinct from his creation. Who are they, brothers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distinct from his creation. The belief of the Sufiyah, the most extreme of them, they believe in something called Wahdatul Wujud, that everything is Allah, and you are Allah, and I am Allah, and this table and this chair and the animals and everything is Allah, waliyadu billah. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distinct from his creation. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above his throne in a manner which befits his majesty. And Allah istawa, istiwa of Allah. They spoke about the istiwa of Allah, Ahlul Sunnah, and they were strong upon it, and they repeated upon it that the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that Allah rose above his throne in a manner which befits his majesty. And likewise, they spoke about the affairs which Imam Ahmed comes to it in a few points, and that is that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And this is where you find Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, when he mentioned from Abu Qilaba, he said that Abu Qilaba said, O Ayyub, memorize from me four things. And we want the brothers today to memorize this. This was Abu Qilaba. He told Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani from the Imams of the Salaf to memorize, and this is mentioned in Al-Ibana. He said to him, memorize, ahfad minni, four things, four ashiya. Do not speak regarding the Quran with your opinion. Don't speak about the Quran with your opinion. The Quran is the kalam Allah, laysa bi makhluq. It's from the attributes of Allah, the attribute of speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes are most beautiful, and Allah's attributes are most complete, and Allah's attributes are forever living, and Allah speaks when he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is the speech of Allah. And beware of speaking about al-qadr. Beware of speaking about the pre-decree of Allah. Nu'minu bil-qadr khayri wa sharri. And if the companions are mentioned, withhold. As was the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا ذُقِرَ أَصْحَابِ فَأَمْسِكُوا. Withhold from evil speech regarding about them. Any evil speech regarding the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Withhold. and do not give the people of ahwa, do not give the people of desires your hearing, so that they cast into it what they wish. Meaning, do not listen to the people of desires. And we'll finish off with these few statements to show you the dangers of the likes of those who say, yeah, it's not a problem, read through Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed, and we believe in, as Imam Ahmed mentions, regarding Al-Qadr and other than that from the Quran. But at the same time, we can take from the likes of the scholars like Sayyid Qutb and Mawlana al-Mawdudi and other than them. It's okay to take from them. They were great thinkers. So you ask yourself, you tell these people, you want me to take from the likes of Sayyid Qutb, who has clear takfir, clear taking people out from the fold of Islam in his books, as you find in his book Al-Ma'alim fi Tariq. He said, Sayyid Qutb in this book, he says, and lastly, it enters into the realm of the Jahili society, that those societies that claim for themselves that they are Muslim. He makes takfir of the mujtama' completely. He says that these societies, they're Jahili society. Jahili societies meaning that they're societies of disbelief. And this is where you find Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah, he mentions in Rad of Sayyid Qutb, he says, in summary, Sayyid Qutb traversed the path in making takfir of the people that no one from the Muslim world agreed with him upon. His daydan, his rambling on the issue of Al-Hakimiyyah, upon the affair that the lordship, the rulership of Allah, and declares the generality of the people without any sin, without establishing any proof against them, and without consideration to the details of the scholars in this affair, and he makes takfir of them. And he doesn't become moved by the shirk at the graves of the Rawafid Shia and the extreme Sufis that he sees. But rather he singles out in making takfir of the Sunni communities because of them not establishing the rulership on the lands, which he feels is the correct rulership and the Sharia. So you find the dangers of the likes of these people, and the poison you find, as the scholars mention his words, being poison. This poison that you find in his books. And people have no shame in mentioning that you can refer back to the likes of Sayyid Qutb and those who were upon that same way, like Al-Mawdudi. And as Shaykh Al-Anjiri Hafidhullah mentioned, I don't know who took from whom. Did Sayyid Qutb take from Mawdudi, or Mawdudi took from Qutb, or both completed one another, waliyadu billah. So one shouldn't open his ears to the people of Ahwa. You find that a teacher comes and in his madda, in his subject matter, that he goes around mentioning from the likes of Sayyid Qutb or the likes of Mawdudi, know that this person is a person of despicable opinion. This is where the Imams of the Salaf, this is what you want to apply upon. That these are the likes of people who are people of despicable opinion. And we'll finish up with the statement of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, where the Imam rahimahullah, he said a beautiful statement, which was highlighted by Shaykh al-Albani in his lessons, and other than them from the mashayikh in our time that we live in, that the latter part of this ummah will not be reformed except by that which reformed this earlier part. So return back to the statements of Imam Ahmed, for example. Return back to the statements of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, in being strong in sticking to the way of the companions. Don't go to somebody and he starts putting doubts and he says, no, rather the fighting that's happening in Syria by way of Daesh, there are some from the Imams, from the Tabi'een, they used to allow this and they would fight. You ask him, ya miskeen, what was the opinion of the companions? Did any of the companions fall into the affair of Khuruj authentically? No. That's why you find the statement of Imam Malik is important. The latter part of this ummah will not be reformed except that which reformed this earlier part. What reformed the earlier part? Sticking to the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What will reform that which comes in our times now and that comes afterwards? Sticking to the way of the companions in your religion, in your understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we'll finish with that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam
وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.